I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
My wife often asks me, since she left public life in 2016, when she stepped down as Secretary of State, she will say, you know, I want to keep up more with what's going on in the debates and the conversations. Should I join Twitter? And I will tell her absolutely, positively not. She says, why? You're always on it. Because it's toxic. It's nasty. First of all, I don't want you supporting an entity that gets rich off of censoring conservatives and controlling the conversation. And secondly, I don't think anybody's happier after they leave Twitter. You have a full, rich life without it, so just stay where you are. But I will tell you that doing what I do, and I never recommend anyone get on Twitter, doing what I do, which is trying to discern what's going on in the world and wanting a lot of different opinions, Twitter is a very helpful tool to me, and I try to keep it in that perspective. It's not the real world. It's an echo chamber of mostly insiders, and it is mostly a vast wasteland of toxicity, angry people, nasty people, keyboard cowboys saying nasty things to each other that they could never say in person. Most of these people have never made a fist, but boy, can they be mean on Twitter. But occasionally, someone cuts through, and someone will offer perspectives that I find to be very useful and helps inform my opinions as I'm drawing conclusions on what to think about this or that. And I find that some of the best of them don't post under their own name, maybe because they don't want other people to know who they are for any number of reasons. Their workplace wouldn't let them do that, or they don't want threats on their personal life. But their opinions are so good that people will actually still read them, not knowing who they are. There's one named Cat Turd. One of my absolute favorites is Comfortably Smug. I confess I am a huge fan. I read his stuff. I wasn't even sure it was a he until we got him on the phone. And I don't know his name, and I really don't need to. His opinions are very useful. But I thought what we'd do today is discuss the fact that opinions are being shared, minds are being molded by people that we don't even know their name. Why would they do this? Why wouldn't you want the credit for your brilliant ideas? And so with that as the intro, Comfortably Smug, as he's called on Twitter, is our guest. Why do you do that? Why not give your real name?
Well, thank you. That's a hell of an intro. I appreciate it. And I think I have to completely agree with your assessment and your sage advice for your wife. I would say it's pretty accurate to describe Twitter as essentially it's a war zone. It's just a combat area you get dropped into. You got to find your tribe to survive. And all day long, it's just a back and forth combat of opinions. And I would say there's certainly a lot of benefit to not having your name on there, because sadly, it's become almost a calling card of the left that if they disagree with you, they will try to ruin you. So I think if you can stand on the merits of your opinion and, your humor and let your tweets talk for themselves, I don't really see the need to have it credited to my name per se. While at the same time, I get to enjoy the benefit if I can go to the grocery store and not have to worry about, an activist coming and throwing paint on me or something like that,
Do you think it allows you to say things that maybe you couldn't say already, that it never has to be ascribed to Joe Smith or Tom Jones, and it gives you a sense of freedom? It may lack the accountability, but it also gives you maybe a little freedom to explore ideas that won't haunt you for the rest of your life.
Well, I feel for some people they might use it in that fashion, but every single tweet that I've put out, I happily, when I meet in person, I stand by every single one of them. If some people, want to use anonymity for that way, I suppose it's up to them. But for me, it's more so about I like having the comfort of a private life where I'm not known by every left-wing activist as a target, because, you know, you've seen a lot of times on Twitter, folks will get dragged through, the ringer for having an opinion that is, you know, if it's to the right of Bernie, a lot of folks are going to have a problem with it on the internet.
Why did you decide to engage in Twitter? Was this something that, were you already in some way politically involved, or were you a guy programming code at a multinational corporation who had political opinions you wanted to share?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I actually started on Twitter talking about finance. I worked in at a hedge fund in the financial services industry, a lifetime ago. And, in a lot of those places, you're not allowed to give your opinion publicly, even if it's completely unrelated to finance. You know, you couldn't talk about the weather. That would be against regulation. So a lot of folks in finance in the early days of Twitter, you know, would have their anonymous accounts on there where they were free to just discuss, what they had for dinner without, you know, worrying about if their workplace frowned upon that. So that's how it initially began. But I would say more so after the election of President Obama, I became more politically engaged online. And Twitter was the perfect outlet for that.
Do you feel like you've made a difference?
I hope I do. I try to help get the information out there to folks that I think a major problem we have right now is you have the media as one monolithic establishment, and they are they're no longer a news agency reporting facts. They are pushing an agenda and an opinion, and they do not leave any room for dissent. They have their talking points they need to get out. And it's pretty clear which side they're going for. And so I think there's been a great resurgence online of conservative voices because it's almost like conservatism is the counterculture at this point.
Yep.
You know, conservatives are punk rock. We're going against the grain. We're asking questions that the media doesn't want asked, you know. I think it's helpful to have as many conservatives out there online making themselves heard.
The counterculture argument's an interesting one. When Van Morrison and Eric Clapton, granted they're not young guys at the beginnings of their careers and certainly not at the peak, but when they're making songs this past week, releasing songs against government lockdowns that are Democrat mayors and Democrat governors, that's a real turn of events from the old days when it was the Republicans who they were bristling against.
Yeah, it's really something, you know. It's not like in the 60s when you had Richard Nixon and the clean-cut Republican Party, the guys in the suits, and you had, you know, the counterculture where the kids in bell bottoms. Now you see it's the establishment neoliberal left that's essentially setting the agenda and these lockdowns. And, you know, you see example after example, especially in California, of these mayors and governors who, you know, it's lockdowns for thee and not for me, where you'll have the governor who will show up at a nice restaurant and you'll have the mayor.
We just had the San Francisco mayor. We told the story earlier in the show. The San Francisco mayor has been caught after yesterday, Santa Clara and Governor Newsom and the mayor of Denver, on and on. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. And, the stories that aren't being told is about all these small business owners who they may have had a restaurant for 20 years, you know, a family business, and it's gone. It is gone because they're not one of these expensive restaurants that the governor or the mayor or their rich friends, you know, like to have around, like to keep open. And you don't hear about those stories from the mainstream media. You hear about them from conservatives online. Talking about, listen, why is there a lockdown going on? I saw a video posted earlier today about a business and a small restaurant in Staten Island, which was getting raided by the police.
Yep.
For being open. And the guy on the video was saying, you've got these, you know, huge airlines that have 200 people sitting, you know, right next to each other. That's fine, but you can't have a few people dining in this family establishment, you know, what's going on here?
And kicking and screaming, kicking and screaming as they took him away for the crime of operating his business. We have that audio.
It's absolutely hard.
All right, I'm out here in front of Max Public House, 130 Lincoln Avenue, being raided by the Sheriff's Department, okay? This tiny little place trying to make a living, okay? 350 people on an airplane, thousands of planes, okay? This close to each other. Costco's open, Home Depot, people lined up, backed up with each other. This guy can't open his business. It's shame on you people. Shame on everybody for letting this happen. There should be 1,000 people out here right now. Well, they're getting raided by the damn Gestapo. Tomorrow is Wednesday at 6 o'clock p.m. I want this street shut down with 10,000 people, because if we don't show up and show face, we're going to lose this whole battle. Disgusting. Should all be disgusted with yourselves. If they fear you, they won't with you. You understand what I'm saying? Get the out here tomorrow night, Wednesday, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock in front of Max Public House. This is disgusting.
I wasn't alive in France in 1789, but I somehow expect that if you put a Pepe Le Pew accent on that fella, that has to be somewhat similar to what we would have heard in the streets of Paris.
You know, and that's the thing, is you only get that information. Like, I saw that on Twitter. I'm not going to see that on, you know, WashingtonPost.com. I'm not going to see that at NewYorkTimes.com. I see that on Twitter. So there's, and you'd made a very good point. There's a lot to be said about how Twitter intentionally censors conservatives.
Yep.
You know, they silence them, they downrank them, they do everything they can to make it impossible for conservatives to be heard. That's why I think it's more important than ever for as many conservatives as possible to be on there making themselves heard. But like I said, you only see those videos posted by individuals and conservatives. You don't get that from the mainstream media.
Well, there's a certain thrill to doing that which you're not supposed to do, right? And there's a conspiratorial feel to it, like the French resistance during German occupation for conservatives or right-of-center folks on Twitter, knowing, you know, that every time you say, well, I'll probably be removed for saying this and I'll probably be kicked off for saying this. There is a certain thrill to that, I have to admit.
Sure, sure. And I mean, I guess that goes with the whole counterculture thing that conservatives now represent.
You're absolutely right. Let me ask you, do you think that if your views were left of center instead of right of center, instead of being comfortably smug on Twitter, obviously a nom de plume, that you would instead reveal your real name?
You know, I think it would probably be easier, but I still just there's such comfort in being able to just go to the grocery store, go about my life, and not have to worry about being recognized or anything like that. It's to me, that's priceless. I cherish having a very regular life more than anything.
I can absolutely respect that. You can find him on Twitter at comfortably smug. And you can find his podcast at ruthlesspodcast.com. Big fan.
Yep.
Thanks for making time for us.
Thank you. And everyone, be sure to check out the podcast. We have some very exciting guests coming on ruthlesspodcast.com.
I love it. Thanks, bud.
I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.